With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the delayed version of the Leeds That podcast. I am James and I am with a man who has sold as many books and travelled to as many countries as Michael Palin, Rocco Dean.
Hello. That's some introduction, that.
I mean, none of those facts are true, but we can pretend that they are.
Yeah, don't ruin the illusion.
I mean, saying that those facts aren't true means that they're just not facts, are they?
They're theories.
They are theories.
Assumptions.
Before we dive into this nonsense, special thank you to Bass and Bly, sponsors of the podcast. We will play the jingle. Thanks, David.
Oh, Bass and Bly and magic. Justin wears a magic hat. Independent, trusted dealers. You'll hear it on Leeds That. Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Leica, Sony and the rest. If you want a decent camera, Bass and Bly have all the best. 60 years in cameras, we really know our stuff. Justin's here to serve you, he can never do enough. If it's cameras that you're after, pop in for a chat. When at home for footy, Justin listens to Leeds That. Oh, Bass and Bly and magic, both new and used on view. If you need binoculars, we've plenty of them too. Spotting scopes and lenses, all state of the art. Bass and Bly in Harrogate and you'll be very smart. Oh, Bass and Bly and magic, we don't sell no tat. We are here to serve you, you will hear it on Leeds That. With Rocco and Beelzebooks and James with so much wit. Bass and Bly sells cameras and all the other shit.
Lovely stuff. So for all your cameras, binoculars, spotting scopes, used cameras, used spotting scopes, used binoculars, repairs, everything to do with stuff that you take pictures of, take pictures with or look at birds and that sort of thing, feathered kind, go to bassandbly.com or 6 Beulah Street in Harrogate. Thanks, Justin. Rocco, what a magical week for Leeds United.
Yes, it's been wonderful, hasn't it? 2 more wins. And top spot is now officially in sight, and that is a fact. How exciting is that?
That is a big fact. I mean, before we go deep diving into Sheffield Wednesday, we probably won't deep dive into it. We had our little date night, didn't we, Rocco?
We did. The opposite of being on a break. Yeah, we got together again, had a nice pizza, nice tiramisu. It was lovely. Dara sent us a picture. He was with us in spirit. That was nice as well. And yeah, just a glorious evening. Well, apart from the second half of the football, but otherwise, yeah, I had a lovely time. Did you?
I had a lovely time, yes. You tried to sit opposite me on the table and I said, no, come round here. And you sat next to me, padded the seat. It was lovely. We got all cozy. There was a candle. Tiramisu.
Yeah.
I mean, we have it as a tradition now, but I'm not even sure I like it.
Yeah, I mean, the tiramisu was bog standard in there, better in Italy, but the pizzas were, yeah, the Italian standard, and that's something coming from me. I'll tell you that.
So yeah, like you say, into the football. We got the bus there. That the bus has moved, which is confusing to begin with. If you get in the bus from town, it's just around the corner, so don't be alarmed if you get there and that you don't see him at first. But yeah, we got there on time, which was nice. Just about. Traffic was hell, But yeah, it was a great night. Good, solid result.
It was, yeah, great night to a point. So the first half was good, wasn't it? Like we were really on top of it, scored like just at the right time. Like felt the goal was coming. We were turning the screw, got the goal. Second half was very, very difficult. Like, to be fair, no one's really given Stoke any credit, but I thought Stoke came out and were superb. You know, obviously, you know, we weren't superb, but yeah, there's two teams on the pitch and fair enough, they did really well. And thank God they just had absolutely no quality in the final third, which I think was lucky for us really in the end.
You have brought someone to my attention recently who said that they felt Ilan Melier should be sold at the end of the season, which is disgusting. If you ever wanted a game as an example of why we should keep him, there it was. What a man. Loads of saves. One in the dying moments as well. Brilliant.
That was scary, wasn't it? That was one of those moments where you're just like certain they're going to score. Like they were coming down the wing and I'm thinking, oh God, they're going to score. And then they get in the box and then they square it and it's like a clear shot goal. But Ian was there, made the save, held on to the ball as well. And then the final whistle went and that was such a relief. Like I basically celebrated that save like a goal. I mean, I don't think any of the saves were brilliant, to be fair. Like they were all to be expected, weren't they? But, you know, you've got to be there. You've got to not make the mistakes. And, you know, you see plenty of goals, especially at this level where you think the keeper could have done better. And yeah, absolute full credit to Melier. I think he's doing great. I saw someone else. Well, there was a poll on Twitter like asking, should we replace Melier if we go up? I just find it ridiculous. Like of all the positions that we'll need to strengthen, like trying to get a goalkeeper, and there's so few good goalkeepers around. We're just going to flog, you know, a young, talented keeper like him. It would be barmy. Like it's just not going to happen.
I agree. Yeah. And the run up to the Sheffield Wednesday game, I think we were feeling a little bit nervous because they were, well, I was nervous as always, but the players seemed a bit leggy towards the end of the Stoke match and felt like we needed to freshen things up. I think all the theories were that we were going to freshen things up and maybe swap a few players around. In struts Daniel Parker, same team, let's go. Pretty much. So,
yeah.
Definitely. I know, I was so worried. So like I took a picture, it was on Twitter and on the Rocco's roundup as well. So there's a picture just after Melier's save when the final whistle goes and like the players are all hunched over. Like they just look completely dead on their feet. Like they've just like given the last ounce of energy. And that haunted me for those 3 days because I was just sure that, you know, they wouldn't have it in them to beat Wednesday. And I hoped for wholesale changes, actually. Like, you know, even Matteo Joseph starting up front instead of Bamford. Actually, I thought Bamford had a good game midweek. But yeah, even Somerville, I wanted him out. I wanted new players because I thought that was the only way we'd have a chance. But yes, Barker knows better.
You've turned it to the right, Sky. You're like, a minute ago, you were like, oh yeah, Melia should be making all those saves. And now you say, just want them all out. Ship them out. Trade the lot. Rubbish. So, yeah. And I couldn't even watch the game. It was painful. And I was actually in Sheffield and I just couldn't get a signal. I couldn't get a signal. The moment we got into Sheffield, couldn't get a signal. The moment we left at 1 a.m. in the morning. So I didn't find out the result until I was basically heading home and traffic was horrendous. The Leeds team bus actually drove past us on the motorway just as I found out the result, which was nice. Gave a little honk of the horn.
And they're all banging on the windows and dancing on tables.
They did look like they were moving around the bus quite a lot. I couldn't see any like dancing, but they looked active. I suppose like when you've had a week like that, you must be just shattered. Like obviously elated that you've won and got 3 points in a difficult game. Sheffield Wednesday have been playing well. But yeah, very, very nice. Good to see them. I didn't really see them. I just saw figures. So back to the game. I think watching all the highlights back and catching up on the Twitter mayhem and your panic in the chat with Dara, you were both livid. I had to read back through. I was like, what are they bothered about? These two easy 2-0 win. But I don't think the scoreline as always tells the true picture. And Sheffield Wednesday fans were a bit livid that the injury time went on a bit too long and we obviously snatched a nice goal. Firpo doing his trademark into the back post, which are unstoppable, really, aren't they? And Bamford buried it in on his wrong foot.
It was an absolutely brilliant goal. I mean, terrible defending. Sorry to be another Sky pundit again, but the ball in was just the ball in was just begging to be converted. It was a lovely goal. Like, Firpo did amazing. Bamford did amazing. So the defender didn't. But yeah, that was the first quality moment that we had. Like, we really struggled. Like, it was, yeah, it was a terrible first half. Like, it really was. And luckily for us, like, Wednesday were diabolical. But yeah, the injury time thing did make me laugh. But what's really funny, so do you know what caused the 4 minutes injury time? You won't know yourself. It was a head injury to our players, to Rodon and Firpo. And they allowed Rodon to sit on the pitch, like getting stitched up, just like Louis Coyle. Do you remember the Hull City away game? And I was losing my mind because the referee allowed Coyle to like sit on the pitch for 5 minutes instead of making him go off to get his head bandaged up. Well, yeah, turns out obviously that must be the rule. So look, a bit of consistency. Give the refs all the praise. So that was great. And yeah, to complain that it went on like an extra 10 or 15 seconds, just barbaric, like absolutely embarrassing. The manager goes on about it for like a minute at the end of the match and then he says, but we're not going to talk about that.
The thing is though, is watching extended bits back of it as well, they had like a goal kick and he took 30 seconds to take it. So what's the difference between 10 seconds being added on? Yeah, anyway.
We're all the same, aren't we? If it was on the other foot, we'd probably have a whinge.
Or maybe not. And then, obviously, a cracking goal from Nyonto in the end. And it was it Ampadu who pinged it up field? It was Melier, actually, wasn't it? Did he take the free kick? Or was it Ampadu? Melier.
Melier. It was Melier. That's
the man who should just make those saves, Rocco. You know, he should just be making them. But not only should he be just making those saves, He's an absolute beast when it comes to setting up offensive plays as well.
Well, he is, but let's just go back then to the first half because Melier did make an incredible save.
Oh,
and
God,
it is one that you might, to the untrained eye, you might just say, oh, well, that's just hit him. He's been a bit fortunate there. But Melier did amazing there. So like for me, that was him showing that he is top, top class because he's got off his line, he's spread himself, he's done everything perfectly right. Of course, the striker might have hit it a tiny bit more to the right and scored, but Melier did amazing there, and that proves his worth. You know, he's got 3 points, I think. Like, I don't think we'd have bounced back. Maybe we would have done, but it would have been really difficult from 1-0 down, playing, like, badly. And you saw the galvanising effect that a goal had on us. Like, once we'd scored, you know, we looked, yeah, fresh again. But if we'd have conceded first, you know, you could imagine legs turning to lead. So that was a massive save. And then, yeah, pumps the ball up and like Bamford did amazing to, you know, show the strength and the touch. And Rutter does really well as well. And then Young with a fantastic top class finish.
And so you mentioned there untrained eyes. So what I want to know is who trained your eyes, Rocco?
Sky. Yeah, Sky have been working on me for some years now.
Was it the Reeve years, rewatching those for your buff? I'm giving you the chance to plug
this.
Yeah,
let's put it down to that. That's better. I've got a book coming out.
Some needs that. Oh, yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Is it 4 weeks?
Yeah, I think it is. You lot have got 4 more weeks of rubbing this down your throat, and then probably some after that as well. Oh, God.
Ah, yeah.
We'll
get it 2 months after that.
You mentioned the Bamford in that. On Twitter, I referred to it as a love triangle because it was Bamford who placed that lovely touch. And I think everyone sort of skimmed over that, really. But you've got frustrated at Bamford a few times, sort of going in for those battles where usually he'll try and sort of out-strengthen the defender and try and come away with the ball. But he was smart at this time. He just did what I needed to do, moved it to the man who can create stuff. And then away we go. Yeah, it was beautiful that. So I didn't want to overlook Bamford in that because I thought he did. It was a brilliant thing that he did that he doesn't usually do.
Yeah, and I also wanted to say from Wednesday and Friday, Tuesday and Friday, He's like, he's challenging for headers a lot more now. You know, I love seeing it. He seems to have, yeah, I don't know if Farke has told him to jump more, but yeah, he's doing a really good job leading the line. So I'm thrilled with him. And yeah, beginning of the season, you know, I think we probably both said, but certainly I said, I couldn't see him, you know, coming back and having a successful season and firing us to promotion. And look at him now. It's just absolutely glorious. And I'm so, so happy for him.
It's a good point, that actually, around, you know, him making the headers now. And that is, when you think about it, that's one thing I have noticed this season, that the things that are obvious, or the things that we've thought about players that need to change or could be improved, have been improved. And is that Farke sort of coaching it? And is he making them better? You know, like, you think of Dan James, his decision-making seems to be better. And probably because he's playing down the right-hand side in his favoured position, he's just doing the things that he needs to do. Archie Gray, probably some of the mistakes he was maybe making at the start of the season, he isn't as much anymore. And it's got to be coaching. Like, we probably do need to praise Farke somewhat here.
Definitely. Yeah, how can you not? Yeah, we've seen it with so many players. It's obviously the fact that they're playing in the Championship now is it's a big point that can't be ignored. But yeah, the guy's just unbelievable. You know, the run that he's got us on is, I'm just blown away. I can't believe what an incredible job he's done all the way through, from the summer through to now, has just been, pretty much faultless. To be fair, like Moscow White, Dan Chapman put it perfectly. He said, like, this season just seems to be an exercise in waiting for Farke to be proved right. And like that sort of, it just captures like the air of confidence that he's got and the assuredness. And, you know, clearly that's passing through to the players. And yeah, like, we under Bielsa, like, people would say that we're like a little Man City or a Championship Man City. Well, yeah, now we are, like, because we got the results to do it. You know, like, this is what City do second half of a season. They'll just go and win and win and win and win. And yeah, Farke's done that twice as well with Norwich, and now he's doing it with Leeds. He's unbelievable.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A couple of comments on our post. I mean, this is a repeated one you get, Rocco. This was on the Love Triangle post. I think Lee's the one who normally calls you out on the Spotify comments. He'll write a comment saying, oh, Rocco's going into Willy again. But Dirty Leeds, Methley Whites, has said, hang on, is this the start of the Rocco loving on Willy Watch? I'm expecting an apology and a rosary from you.
I know, I love that. And do you know what? Yeah, I think I said at the beginning of the season that we have to forgive, like, we just have to forgive and forget. And, you know, Farke wants us to do that. His teammates want us to do that. So, yeah, we just have to do that. And yeah, I had a wobble. And I don't know if it's just having a wobble. It's just hard to forgive it. And especially when, you know, I feel like it, you know, him refusing to play cost us probably 6 points, 5 or 6 points. He's paid his dues, I think. Like, you know, he's sat on the bench for, you know, half a season, never complained, you know, happy, smiling, you know, G'ing up Somerville, and now he's in the team and he's doing the business. So yeah, what can you say? Just have to forgive him. So yeah, here's my apology. And I'll look forward to doing Willy Watch in the future. Hopefully it'll all be positive.
Here's an addition for Willy's Watch. Willy's Watch? Willy Watch. So we're hoping Daniel Farke's teaching the players good stuff, right? Remember, Willy Nyonto passed his driving test when Jesse Marsh was at Leeds United. Now, I think, I can't remember what the kind of fine or thing that happened to Jesse Marsh was, but that's all I'm saying. We'll leave it at that for libelous reasons. Okay, so the second comment, because this is going to get boring quite quickly, but this is a Sheffield Wednesday fan commented on it as well. So Melier took the free kick. He's put free kick taken in wrong place. Talk about sour grapes. Love that. So good. Cheers, mate. Enjoy your week. Good stuff. And the match, all that good stuff.
Oh, God. Well, man of the match is a simple one. It's definitely Ampadu. He was just phenomenal. And Rodon was brilliant as well. What about Tuesday? Who did we play? Stoke. Who was your man of the match for Stoke?
Melier. It's got to be Melier. Although they were easy saves, Rocco.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, they were, weren't they? For him, for such a fantastic goalkeeper. Yeah, he played well. What about the ratings then?
Well, I didn't watch the Sheffield game, so I'll leave that one to you. Just make sure you favour it my way for my scores that I predicted
I'll
start the season.
Well, I'm really disappointed that you didn't watch the game, to be honest. The reason being, I'll get to it actually. So, should we just forget about Stoke, have those ratings behind closed doors to save on a bit of time? Or do you want me to run through the Stoke scores?
I think it was all sevens apart from anyone who stood out. Or anyone who was poor. Is it sixes across the board?
No. We won. Sevens across the board. I've got an 8 for Melier, an 8 for Ampadu, and, oh, hell, someone's got a 5. Oh, yeah, Kamara and Gruev were...
I was going to say, weren't they?
Kamara on 5 and Gruev on 6. Yeah.
Well, you probably want him shipped out, don't you? Disgusting rocker.
Well, he had 2 fives in a row and then he came back against Wednesday and he played really well, Kamara. I was very happy with him. But yeah, he looked back to his best and Gruev as well. Like the thing about the Wednesday game, like we were just so, like, I don't know, like sometimes when we're playing the season or a lot of the time or all the time probably, it's men against boys. Like I don't know how or why, but we're just stronger than everyone. Like even like Ampadu's just munching people off the ball. Like even if they look bigger than him, like, I don't know what it is about us, but we're just so good. And in tight areas, like, we can always play our way out of it. It's these little things that just make us a different class. And then, obviously, we've got that quality in the final third and those two absolute rocks at the back. That's what I was going to ask you. Are Wales going to win the World Cup with them two at the back? Dan James, Roberts at number 10. You know, this is some team. They've got to be a dark horse for the Euros at least.
I'd say they're not going to win, Rocco. I'd say, chill out, mate. Sell some books.
Okay, fair enough. Right, let's do the Wednesday
quarterfinals. I'm in for quarterfinals for Wales.
All right. Well, that makes them a dark horse. Gets the quarters. Anything can happen. That's what they say. Right. Okay. So Melier for Wednesday. So just doing Wednesday. So Melier 8.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just doing this in order. It's on my sheet. Rodon 8. Rodon was very good. Ampadu 9. This is why I'm disappointed you didn't watch it, because honestly, you could give him a 10. You could. He was that good. He was incredible driving our attack. So he was just like everything that you expect from him, but like just doing it perfectly.
Okay, I'll make a promise to you.
He even cleared one off the line.
I saw him clear off the line. That was very good. Hold it as a 9 for now. I will watch the entire game. And then next podcast will make a judgment on whether we give him a 10. Potentially the only 10 of the season. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's exciting. Right. And then we've got Tigres, Kamara 7, Gruev 7. Yeah. Somerville 7. Because again, it was a bit of a game of two halves. Like first half were poor, but second half were just so much better. Nyonto, I gave him an 8 as a mark of apology and for his lovely goal. Even the first touch was great. Like he set that perfectly for himself. It was real quality. Rutter 7. He had a good game. But no massive magic, I don't think. Paddy, I've given an 8 as well, with him getting a goal and a lovely pre-assist. I think he deserves it. And won't bother with the subs. But yeah, everyone's flying now. We've got like 15 players on 7 or above, which is, I guess, what you expect from a team that's pissing the league.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We have got some questions from Twitter, actually, which we'll come on to in a minute. The results at the weekend, very good. Very good Leaf Davis. Wasn't very good Leaf Davis. And Cardiff beat Ipswich in the dying moments. They got Ipswiched, which was lovely.
They did. Oh, it was absolutely brilliant. And Davis gave away the corner that led to the winner. And it was like, you'd see it'd be given a free kick 9 out of 10 times. It was a bit of an ailing flop. But yeah, gave a corner. Ah. What a moment. So I was like following it on FotMob, and I discovered for the first time that you can watch the pitch and it like tells you where they're passing and stuff. Like I literally discovered it And like 20 seconds later, the equaliser went in. So like the first time I've ever put it on, and I get to see Ipswich concede a 95th minute equaliser. So that was a thrill. And then, yeah, 90 plus 10 for the winner, which was just, yeah, glorious. And then Leicester holding on, or being held, sorry, by Hull. Just another dream result, really. It nearly was all three, wasn't it? Southampton were pegged back to 2-2, but did what they do. I mean, promotion's actually still in their hands, you know. And with them playing us on the last day, albeit there's a lot of goal difference to make up, but yeah, it's still there for them. So yeah, I can't forget about them, but I don't know. I'm just thinking about Leicester now. What are you?
I'm definitely thinking about Leicester, but I am thinking about Southampton. I feel like they're the thing is, they got that late winner the other week, and then they had a comfortable win at the weekend as well, didn't they? And I think they're starting to get confidence again. And last time they got this sort of confidence, they went on a great run. So we definitely need to be looking over our shoulder, but we also need to be looking ahead. The great thing is, Ipswich, Southampton, and Leicester all have to play one another. And in those moments, things could shuffle quite nicely, where, yes, you might unfortunately shift away from the idea of winning the league, but you also might shift away from teams catching you. So they're really good, and I don't think we can overlook the importance of those fixtures in particular.
Definitely. And also, we can't overlook the importance of the timing of the rearranged Southampton v Leicester game. I mean, it's just brilliant. It's the penultimate game of the season, three days before the last game. So obviously that's good for us, because Southampton will have had a high intensity battle midweek. But much more importantly, potentially, I think, if we go top of the league on Sunday, like, that's it, we're top. Like, Leicester have a game in hand, but they don't have it for absolutely ages, like right until the end of the season. So, you know, we're going to be potentially, you know, if we keep winning, we're ahead of them. Like, the mentality side of that, or the mental side of that, is, I think, absolutely huge. Like, we've got ourselves to the top of the league. Like, yeah, there's an asterisk there about the game in hand, but like, that's not really going to be talked about that much. You know, it's the fact that we're top. And, you know, this game in hand that Leicester do have is very, very difficult as well. So I think that's just brilliant. I was so thrilled when I saw that was rearranged for that week.
Sod the business that burnt down Rocker out near the stadium. You just want Leeds United win the league, don't you? What a scumbag. What a horrible man. I am not there yet. Like, I'm still like very, very cautious in all this. Like, oh, like, you know. I feel some part of me still thinks we could get relegated. I know that's mathematically impossible, but, you know, nothing's impossible with Leeds United. We'll see. Like, we can talk about every scenario, everything that could happen, but it's pointless. Just have to get excited in the run-up to the games. Got to beat Millwall first. You know, those games are never tough. We had a tough one against them at Elm Road last time we were in the Championship, I think, wasn't it? Pablo pulled it back, didn't he? Yeah. One of them games.
So. Yeah, twice. Yes, 3-2 both times. Last two occasions.
That's right.
Yeah, they've got Harris back as well. I didn't realise they had Harris. I'm not happy about that, but it'll be nice to, yeah, hopefully give him a thrashing.
It would be good. Just 3 points. That's all we want. A good day out at Elm Road. 3 decent points. March into the league.
By two goals.
Oh yeah, 2 goals. I keep forgetting that fact.
I don't think I'd take one now. I know. I don't think I'd take
it. It would feel like a loss, wouldn't it?
I want to be top.
Yeah. Cool. So we got some questions on Twitter. I will have a look through them now. I am Drill. Bamford, strong form, unfair pyro hate from our fan base. How much is Archie Gray worth if we go up? DJ or Nonto? I think there are some good things to speak about. Which one are we plucking out? How much is Archie Gray worth if we go up?
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I mean, I just think it depends who's in for him. Like, if it's Chelsea and somebody else, then he's going to go for 100 million. You know, we might as well hold out for that, because Chelsea are paying that for, you know, for players. Probably not 100, probably 75, 80. But I don't
know. Look at you, you just flog anyone,
that.
Don't you? You just flog anyone. Horrible. I wouldn't sell him for 200 million.
I wouldn't sell him for... Well, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't sell him for 100 million.
Right.
Or 200.
You upset
no
me.
No point.
Upset me.
Something's
then.
More important. Sorry. I was trying to answer the question. I couldn't sit on the fence.
Yeah, but you upset me. So, Panzi, Phil MC Leeds, how do we balance the books? Most of the players that fled at the end of last season are now worth a fraction of what we paid for them. Well, I don't know if you saw it, but Llorente scored an absolute bullet yesterday. His valuation's gone up a notch.
Did he?
He scored an injury time equaliser for Roma, yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Fiorentina's my team, so I saw that Fiorentina were 2-1 up, and I did check to see that Llorente was playing. But yeah, I didn't check the final score. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Well, Christensen's injured till March, so that's not good because makes it less chance. Actually, does it? Maybe it is good. Less chance that the manager will realise that he's terrible, I suppose, because he has been playing him. Yeah, so I think we're going to struggle. Aronson.
Go on, sorry.
Managed to make a start the other week. He started a game, he even scored a goal the week before, but had a terrible game when he started. So he's not going to be... I don't think, honestly, like, it might be that none of them get signed by these clubs that they're at. That's how I'm feeling at the moment.
This is tomorrow's worry. Let's not delve too much into it. Yeah. I think if we go up, it's not as much of a problem as if we stay down. So let's not stay down. That's the end one there. Fitzroy Baggers. Corners, why can't we defend them and why can't we score from them? I might be mad, but why can't we simply hit effective crosses to be flicked on at the near post? Everyone else does it. We have such a poor record from set pieces. It vexes me.
Yeah, yes, defensively, I think it just comes down to height. I think I heard, was it John Newsom on Radio Leeds talking about it. And yeah, at the end of the day, we don't really have that many tall defenders in the team. You've got people like Nyonto and like, yeah, weird people like marking big men, just trying to block them. So it's not ideal, is it? Yeah, attacking wise, I don't know. I'll have to look at the stats because Cooper scored from a corner. Ayling, did he score from one? Byram scored from a corner. So we've probably scored two or three and we've probably missed a few sitters as well. I remember Strike at Rotherham. Maybe we're not as bad as you think. I'd have to look at the stats. You know, like James and Somerville put good balls in the box a lot of the time. I don't know. Maybe the same issue. What do you think?
I can't remember who it was that said it. It might even be Bielsa, but someone said that in Spain or somewhere they don't really celebrate corners as much as we do because they don't really see it as a goal scoring opportunity because the percentage chance of scoring from them is actually quite small. But that being said, when we do concede, it is frustrating to see them from corners or from set pieces for Leeds. So maybe we are more frail than we are in as good as we are in attack, if that makes sense. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I could be wrong because I've not looked at the stats, but I mean, we've only conceded 3 goals this year. So, yeah, there were all set pieces, but, you know, 3 in 11 or 12 games, it's not too bad.
What about, so this is the Hip Hopopotamus Concords is his handle, which I believe this has got to be a Flight of the Concords reference. If you've not seen that, you should watch it.
Very good.
What about that popular dessert, Ipswich Crumble? Have you ever eaten Ipswich Crumble? I think you can only get it in Suffolk.
No, but you'll have had it where...
Well, haven't. But I'll tell you one thing. In Ipswich, they all call each other like Gil. All right, Gil, to the girls. And all the boys go, all right, boy. And they all talk like that. So we, because my wife's from Ipswich, our dog, he's always referred to, all right, boy. So he comes in and all right, boy. So if you ever see someone from Ipswich when they've bottled it all, just say, all right, boy. There you go. That's my suggestion. They'll know what it means.
I saw the tweet about Ipswich Crumble and I thought it was just a joke. I didn't realise it was an actual thing.
Yeah. And so last two, Luke Waterman Ailing, ER Cheap, has said, is Enzo Maresca the biggest wanker in a league that has Neil Harris in it?
No, that's going a bit far. Oh dear.
I don't know. Chris Wilder's probably been in the league at the same time as him, hasn't he?
Well, has he? Maybe not this season, though.
No, not this season, but in a league that has Neil Harris in it. Chris Wilder was definitely in the league at the same time as him. We don't have to answer that. We know the answer.
God, did you hit?
Go on.
Did you see Wilder's comments saying that everyone's saying that Luton are going to get in Europe?
He's such a... I don't know who he thinks he is. You know, like, I thought if he was our manager and we'd had success with him, would we be blinkered by these comments and be like, oh, he's so funny, isn't he? Or would we actually just think, God, what is he on about? No, I think we would be sensible enough to say, we are really bottom of the league. Shut up, Mr. Wilder.
Yeah. 21 goals have conceded in 4 home games.
Not good, is
it?
Not
at all.
Last question from Andy Tunstall, 65. Andy Tunstall, are we winning? I presume he means the league.
Well, we're definitely winning. We're winning every week. And yeah, of course we're winning the league. Said it at the start, so I'm not going to not say it now. Now that we're about to go top, touch wood.
God.
You hate it, I mean, don't you?
I absolutely hate it. Why can't we just be a mediocre side again? I prefer moaning a lot.
Might be next season in the Premier League.
Yeah. I prefer moaning a lot rather than worrying a lot.
I love getting carried away.
I don't, because it's so disappointing when you get carried away and it all Ipswich crumbles.
It's the only joy we get. Enjoy it. Great.
It's true. Celebrate every victory like it's the last, because it probably will be. Oh dear.
Yeah. Celebrate moments.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Good stuff. Rocco, your book is coming out nearly a month today. You can pre-order it on the Leeds That website. It's available on all other bookstores and massive conglomerates websites, but buy it on Leeds That. You can get free delivery when you buy it with any other book. There's a few books on offer at £5. I haven't read it yet. I haven't got a copy. Don't know what it's like. Yep. Could be rubbish, so I can't really endorse it, to be honest.
Yeah, you're going to love it. It's excellent.
No, like I said,
it's Leeds winning every week. What more can you want?
Yeah. Like I said on the last episode, I'm genuinely looking forward to it because I don't know enough about the era and I feel like I need an education in it. I've seen some good goals, but I don't know enough detail. Have you got any other little facts that spring to mind? There was one you mentioned last week.
Yeah, I have actually. So in the Revy team, Revy,
I think Rabendico corrected you on that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. In the Revy team, there's 5 players that made over 700 appearances for Leeds. Should have been 6. Lorimer was like 698. But anyway, let's call it 5 because it is 5. So looked at all the other teams. So that's just from one team, 5 players over 700 games. And then Liverpool in the club's history, there's been 3 players. Man U, 3 players. Arsenal, 1 player. And then like a host of teams with 0, like Barcelona have got 2, Real Madrid have got 1, AC Milan have got 1, Inter have got 1, and then, you know, Man City have got none, and, you know, basically pretty much everyone else has got none because they wouldn't stay at those clubs for that long. But 5 in one team, I found that fascinating.
Yeah, that's amazing. Shows you how good a place it was to be, not just because we were winning, but you know, you don't stick around if you're not enjoying something, do you? Not in football, anyway.
True.
There's always someone there.
Absolutely.
There's always someone there wanting to pay silly money for you, even in that era. So there you go. Right, good stuff. Is that us done?
Yep, I think so.
Good stuff. Well, yeah, thanks ever so much to Bass and Bly for sponsoring the podcast. So Rock and Gallivant off on his holidays all the time, writing books. And thanks everyone else for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate it. And I will go away and watch the Sheffield Wednesday match front to back so I can give my verdict on Ethan Ampadu's glorious, probably a number 10 in terms of his score rating. So we'll see on that. And yeah, we'll see after Millwall. Let's hope it's another win. 3 on the bounce would be amazing. Like we say, get 2 or more goals. We get top of the league. Rocco will be happy. Let's hope we can do it. See you then.
Network.